I'm joined by Martin Chuloff, who's at the Pearl Roundabout in Manama in Bahrain. What's the latest, Martin?
Large gathering this morning. Most people have been to the funeral of the second protester who was shot 2 days ago. We're at the funeral ourselves. His body was being washed. He was being wrapped in Islamic tradition and he was being prepared for burial. There are several thousand people there at the roundabout this morning. There are at least, I'd say, 5,000 to 10,000. It's much more organized than it has been in recent days. The committees have formed. There's parking committees, there's accommodation, toiletries, there's all sorts of functions being supplied here. It seems as though these people are here to stay.
So it has the same, you weren't in Cairo, but it seems to have the same kind of organization as that sort of Tahrir Square camp.
That's the thing that strikes me this morning. There are camps, there are tents, there are toilet facilities, there are parking facilities. This is a group that's got itself organized. There are marquees everywhere we turn, there's first aid everywhere we turn. And as I say, these people don't look like they're going to go anywhere in any big hurry. It does have a sense of a protest movement that's gaining momentum.
How's it being policed?
The police are staying away for now. We don't see them at all. All access points to this area, which is pretty much in the heart of downtown Manama, are being coordinated and directed by citizens wearing orange coats or wrapped in Bahraini flags. They're performing the role of traffic police, civil wardens. We don't see a police car, a police officer, or a military officer at all. There are a few helicopters circling overhead, just keeping a distant eye on things, but that's about as pervasive as they get.
And this is a sheer demonstration against the sort of the Sunni minority-led government. What are they saying?
It's predominantly Shia, and they're saying that they've been pushed into a sectarian corner for the last 4 or 5 years. They have a number of gripes. The most significant gripe is that the establishment, which is predominantly Sunni here, has been stacked with citizens from other countries, and that they've been squeezed out of ordinary life here. They say it's very difficult to get significant roles within the public service or within government itself. They say any time they raise a protest or a concern about anything, whether it be a price rise, whether it be any civic matter whatsoever, they get told they're behaving in a sectarian way. So what they're looking for in the first instance is a greater voice, a greater role in society in Bahrain. I think they feel electrified, emboldened by what's happened in Egypt and Tunisia, and we hear a lot now that a secondary concern, fast becoming a dominant one, is that the king actually leave.
But yesterday we had this statement on TV from King Haddad. That doesn't seem to have placated the protesters.
Certainly hasn't. We're right amongst them at the moment, and they're set up. They're angry. They're chanting. There are protest banners everywhere. As I say, they do feel galvanised by what's happened in Egypt. They do get a sense that if they wait their turn, things may come their way. So they're not placated. They've been offered 1,000 dinars, Bahraini dinars each, which is about $2,600. That's seen as being token. It's seen as a quick fix that won't be accepted, and they're in for the long haul here.
But is there a sort of hate figure like Mubarak or Ben Ali in Tunisia? Are they sort of galvanised around one figure like that?
It's pretty well the monarch. The monarchy here has been in place for 40 years since the British left. The monarch has been largely responsible for protecting and buttressing the Sunni-based establishment here. Bear in mind that Bahrain is 70% Shia and 30% Sunni, and the Sunni minority governs the country with a strong arm, pretty much as it did in Iraq during Saddam's time. So the lightning rod for discontent here is the monarch. He's the one that people are directing all their distrust, all their anger at. They're looking for the monarchy to actually abdicate or for some significant changes to be made in civic life, which give them a broader role here.
You were in Jordan for us last week, give us an idea, a compare and contrast of the two places.
I think in Jordan, there doesn't seem to be that fervor, that zeal directed at the monarchy as yet. People have made the distinction there between the government and the monarchy. Their anger is directed at a government which doesn't serve them, at a security establishment which is self-serving and a vested interest that try and maintain the status quo. The monarchy in Jordan is seen to be relatively benevolent. I mean, it's a dynasty that's continued for 90 years now, and Abdullah has made some changes there which have appeased the political opposition. He's given a greater voice for minority groups. He's given a right of assembly. He's changed right of assembly laws to allow people to take to the streets without needing a government permit, and he's paved the way for political reform there. So for now, there is no great zeal in Jordan to bring about the sort of revolutionary movements that we're seeing in North Africa and elsewhere in the Arab world.
Does the regime feel much more vulnerable in rain to you?
Instinctively, it does. Instinctively, it seems to have a lot of work to do to win the trust of the majority of the population, which for a number of years now has felt disenfranchised. They now feel, this large disenfranchised group, that they have a precedent in the region. They feel that they can unite behind what has happened in Tunisia and Egypt, depress their concerns that have long been suppressed. I mean, they've said for a long time that whenever they raise anything here, they're seen as being Iranian agents, or they're seen as not being loyal to their country. They haven't felt free to press for a civic change, and when they have tried, there hasn't been any results. So there really does seem to be a mood now that the monarchy does have to stand up and deliver. So does the government, and that's what these people are going to continue to press for.
And how do you see it playing out?
Tough to know. I mean, it's certainly not going away. It does have a feel of a movement that is going somewhere. The government and the monarchy are clearly rattled by it. Social media is playing a significant role in the last couple of days, and the mobilization and the organization through Facebook and Twitter is significant now. So, you know, this could actually go somewhere. Instinctively, it's certainly one to watch in the next week or so.
Okay, Martin. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.